their worst. I stayed open to believing that no matter how difficult the climb, there is always a way to let in a sliver of light to illuminate a path forward. And now, I am blessed to have reached the age of 70. And while I really only see that number as a marker to my life timeline, I am in utter awe of how my life continues to meet its rising. Like you, I too have seen sorrow and loss, and also moments of hope that took my breath away. When I consider all we have experienced together and as individuals over the course of the past decade, what I know for sure is that embracing a collective era of open hearts will lead us to a profound level of connection both to ourselves and to one another. That's why I decided to add a new chapter to this anniversary edition of this book. We thought about calling it Compassion, but I think what might fully encompass what I mean is caring, because in its simplest form, caring begins with opening your heart to yourself and to anyone with whom you might be struggling to find middle ground. I don't just mean big conversations about politics or global issues. I'm talking about those little interactions at the grocery store, at work, in the school drop-off line, and with a friend or family member who's having a reaction that you don't necessarily understand. There's a moment before things get tense when you have a choice to either lead by caring or with judgment, which often leads to confrontation. I have always felt that the way we consume the news on a 24-hour cycle deeply affects how we care for one another. In the same way that we're told to develop healthy habits around diet and exercise, creating and keeping boundaries around how we digest information, I believe, is just as important. I used to watch the news regularly on my treadmill, but it became too much for me, so I started avoiding it. You can end up making yourself depressed if you watch on a constant cycle, and the anxiety that develops has an insidious way of seeping into how we interact with each other. Now I am careful to manage how I consume information and tune in enough to stay informed. I've even found a way to bring some joy into it. I now look out for stories about people whom I might be able to help. It's a way of replacing a bit of the stress or sadness with an act of kindness. I remember there was an article in USA Today that shared the plight of a single mother who lost two jobs in one day at the beginning of the pandemic. I was struck by her story and wanted to help. So I tracked her down and sent her money to restart her life. I've, to this day, never met her, and she had no idea I was going to do it. She was shocked to receive the phone call, but I was happy to make her happy. Paying off a car loan, school debt, natural disasters, unforeseen illness. For me, reaching out is one way to change the energy of what we see every day in the news. It's meaningful and also fun, sort of like playing Secret Santa all year long. Of course, I understand lending a hand in that way is something I know I'm beyond blessed to be able to do. Most people aren't in the position to step in like that because it's enough to just take care of themselves and their families. But I do believe there are small acts everyone can do to bring light to someone's day or change the energy in the room. Next time you're scrolling, think about leaving a nice comment on someone's post. Maybe call or send a quick text of encouragement to someone who might be struggling. Offer kindness to a stressed-out stranger rather than walk away. If you're buying a latte and have money to spare, pay for the person behind you. They'll remember it all day. And if you find yourself on the precipice of an argument, take a breath and try to see what the other person is attempting to convey. Ask yourself, what is really going on here? Everyone just wants to be heard. You'll find, after creating space between you and the argument a few times, a wonderful